everyone, my name is Emily Escorcia. I'm your host, and you guys are tuned in to Talk About It. Hey everyone, it's Emmy. Today we're going to be talking about toxic loved ones. Dear God, this is going to be fun. Or hopefully really beneficial for most of you. A lot of us tend to point the finger and say this person is toxic, this person is toxic. Sometimes we're the toxic ones. And it's really important to identify what exactly is considered toxic in a family or a relationship dynamic and what we can do to either maneuver the situation, avoid it, or cut ties when we feel it's necessary. So we're going to dive a little bit deeper into what that's going to look like. It's going to come anywhere in the sense of control, yelling, questioning, making you feel guilt. And we'll dive into those a little bit deeper. Also, I'm going to try and keep all of these episodes under 25 minutes or so. I don't want to bore you guys, but I do want these all to be really informational. And so if you guys want them to be longer, please let me know. Throw some comments in Instagram or Twitter and, you know, just give me some feedback. But aside from that, let's get started. So the very first step is identification of these toxic traits. The first one we're going to dive into is the idea of control. There's always going to be a certain level of, what are you doing? Can you tell me where you're going? Who are you going to be hanging out with? Stuff like that. That's not necessarily control. And we need to get out of the mentality that asking questions about your general behavior does not mean that they're trying to control you. Control comes from the sense of fear that you feel when they have basically pressured you into making certain decisions that they believe are the best, and you are by no means going to question what they say, and you have to do it their way or there's going to be consequences. And that builds fear. And so that fear is what is toxic. Not necessarily the questions of just kind of keeping an idea of what's going on in your daily life, because this can often come from a parent wanting to know what's going on in their child's life. And in the same in relationships, if I just disappear from my partner for 3 hours, he's going to wonder, like, okay, could you at least tell me where you were going for 3 hours? Yeah, it's things like that that are not control. Control comes from fear. Trying to persuade you to make decisions that you just aren't comfortable with, using money or food in a way that you have to do what they want. Installing some sort of tracking feature into like your car without your knowledge. Those things are completely inappropriate. What you can and cannot do with your body. You are an adult, I hope. Obviously, as a child, it's different with a parent. But what you wear, the way you express yourself, even in children, I'm going to argue that there's a certain level of freedom that needs to be allowed. And so the same in relationships. If you feel like you have a partner who is completely dictating what they want you to do, wear, look like, speak, and control your every move and basically manifest that fear into you, that is control. That is toxic. That is inappropriate. And we'll go into how to maneuver that in a little bit. The next is blame. You're constantly to blame. They never make mistakes. They are perfect. You're always the problem. Now, there's always going to be situations where, yes, you might be to blame. You might have made a mistake and you had to have this addressed. But if it's a constant theme in this relationship where the other person is never, ever to blame and it is always your fault, they make you feel really bad, really emotionally affected, sometimes fearful again, that is toxic. That is something that we cannot be okay with. We have to be able to realize that our relationships are a give and take, and it's not always going to be 50-50. There is moments where you're going to have to point the finger at yourself and say, okay, I made a mistake. But blame in a consistent theme is not okay. The next theme I'd like to address is confusing punishment for discipline. There's a difference between discipline, which is basically teaching you to abide by a certain set of standards. And this, like I said, in most relationships, it's not always going to be 50-50, but there are rules that you have on each side of how you kind of expect for the relationship to go. And when these rules are broken or these guidelines are not abided by, then we have to discuss the idea of discipline, the idea that there have to be consequences for the mistakes made, and we have to learn from the lesson in order to move forward and avoid the mistake in the future. Punishment and toxic punishment is the idea that you're going to get reprimanded. There are going to be consequences for you not abiding by these rules, but there is no lesson taught. They didn't learn anything from this mistake. They didn't necessarily understand where exactly the mistake was made, even. It is simply used as a way to make you feel bad, make you feel guilty, make you feel threatened or fearful. Fear is where this toxicity is stemmed from. And so the same with punishment and discipline. I want to keep you controlled and in a corner to make you feel like you don't have an escape. But at the same time, I'm not teaching you anything. That is toxic punishment. The next theme that I want to address is threats. The idea of threatening behavior. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. Ultimatums, putting you in a corner between a rock and a hard place. Totally inappropriate. Especially as adults, we cannot force anyone to make a decision based off of what we want. We have to understand the idea of choice. They don't always have to do what you want. And so at the same time, if it doesn't go your way, how are you going to handle it? You're not going to threaten them with pain, with fear, with, again, toxic punishment. We're going to talk about education of this made me feel a certain type of way because you did this, not necessarily trying to make them feel at blame, like they're in danger or they're going to lose something really important to them just because they made a mistake. The next theme would be criticism. I am a firm believer in constructive criticism. I feel like it's absolutely necessary. And in the last episode, we talked about feedback. Criticism kind of goes hand in hand with that. In order to be in a relationship that is open to growth, then you have to be able to point out some of the errors that you feel are being made. However, criticism in a way that is not constructive and is simply to put the other person down or make them feel bad for their behavior is, again, completely inappropriate. Constructive criticism is giving them avenues in order to better their behavior and how you may have perceived it in an emotional way so that they can better understand from an empathetic point of view why they made the mistake and how you feel as a result of it. You do not have a right as a person to point the finger and say, you're a fuck up and you need to do this and you need to do that and you're not perfect here, X, Y, Z. No, what we need to do is rather address how it made us feel, why it upset us, and how we can move forward as a relationship and a partnership, whether it's parent or romantic. We have to remember to recognize when they're doing something right and when the mistakes are happening, how we can help them through it rather than just point the finger and make them feel like shit. The next theme in toxicity is way too common. I see it almost every single day, and that is being dismissive of other people's feelings. I understand that a lot of us want to be like, your feelings are not my problem. However, that doesn't mean that they're not valid. That doesn't mean that they don't have the right to feel a certain type of way because of something that happened. And it may not match how you feel. You have to be willing to talk through that difference of emotion or reaction and understand their side of the story as well. Because as I mentioned empathy so many times, we have to remember that it's not our job to make the other person empathetic. We can't do that. We have to be empathetic ourselves. And then as a result, they feel willing to be more vulnerable and open with us rather than looking at them and saying like, no, you don't get to be upset when I'm the one that's upset. No. You're completely wrong. Everybody has a right to feel a certain type of way when a disagreement happens, and you have to both talk about your feelings and what exactly you're going to do to basically lighten the fire. It needs to kind of calm down for a little bit. Sometimes you need some space, but you do have to understand the other person has feelings and you have to accept them as valid as well. This last one is family specific, and it is taking sibling rivalry to an extreme. And by the way, some of these themes that I'm getting are from regain.us. It is a licensed therapy group that you can find some really good resources from. Sibling rivalry, it happens a lot when they're close in age or when there's some sort of jealousy, but blaming the other sibling all the time for when they get into trouble, trying to humiliate the other sibling in public, in front of other people, trying to put them down, make them feel bad, and then making everything a competition, either personal and or professional even, and then being very vindictive after the fact. A lot of times we see this result in pettiness. Pettiness is the idea that you're going to do things as a result of your feelings to make the other person feel some type of way and get like a reaction from them. And that is a hugely toxic behavior that I see in a lot of people my age, which is a little embarrassing because it is something that just shows that you're not willing to be an adult and confront the conversation. You would rather be passive aggressive and make the other person react versus sitting down and just having a conversation about what exactly is bothering you. And with siblings, that can often be muddy because you fight and then 2 minutes later you're ordering pizza together. But it's really important to have those conversations when they say something or do something inappropriate, because it is a lifelong relationship. These are, especially with the family dynamics, these are people who we're not going to be able to pluck out of our lives very easily. And we're going to talk about, you know, the disconnection when we need to. But family is like my last resort with family. And as a professional, advice for you guys is, for family in particular, do everything you can in order to make it work. And with friends and your loved ones, you should always do everything to make it work. But pettiness is unforgivable. You need to sit down and have a conversation all the time. And that's just a matter of fact. In order to move forward from conflict, we have to face those uncomfortable topics, including those really awkward moments when you're both pissed off and don't want to talk to each other or look at each other. But it's necessary. Otherwise, we'll never grow. We'll never have successful relationships. So then now we're going to talk about how exactly to deal with these toxic people. Okay? Now, I'm going to circle back to episode one real quick because we need to talk about the wheel of emotions that we use as a tool for our self-awareness. That wheel of emotions is going to be really, really useful for yourself and for your loved ones in these conversations about dynamic. You have to understand exactly how you feel before being able to communicate it. Because if you cannot put it into words how you feel about something that happened, then you will never have the other side of the argument understand your point of view, because you can't always blame them. You cannot be aggressive and point the finger. You have to communicate it in a way that says, I feel sad when you say XYZ. And I understand that your intention is not to make me feel sad, but you have to understand that that's how I feel when you say those things. So that is a prime example of using your point of view, your feelings, as a starting point for the conversation, because you're not attacking them, you're not blaming them, and you're also addressing the fact that you know that that might not have been their intention. And even if it was, we're going to say that we're not going to assume that their intention was negative. Because nobody likes to hear that, right? Nobody likes to hear, I know that you're doing this because you're trying to make me feel bad. And even if you were or were not, it automatically goes into defense mode. We don't want to face this person and have them be defensive. We want them to feel open about talking about it. And so in the same frame of mind, we want them to be able to communicate their emotions to us, because they're obviously doing these behaviors because they're either frustrated, mad, sad, whatever, towards us or towards life, and they're using us as a punching bag. Or we are the ones doing the punching. Let's be realistic. Sometimes we are the toxic ones, like I said in the beginning. And you have to be able to identify that. Oftentimes, if you're the one who feels they're toxic, you're not willing to let them share their feelings. You're like, fuck your feelings. But it's really, really important to understand both sides of the conversation. So that way you can at least say, oh, damn. Okay, now I see why you're being a bitch. Now I understand why you're being rude to me, because XYZ is happening and I didn't notice. Those are the moments that we have a little bit of clarity. And that's why we have to both be open and vulnerable and not defensive, ourselves included. Next is being able to set boundaries. And the idea of boundaries can get a little aggressive when you take it to an extreme. Boundaries need to be set in a very realistic way. For example, if I have someone that texts me too much, right? Those are boundaries that are discussed in a very calm way, sitting down and telling the other person, hey, this is what I have to do during the day. And when you send me text messages all day, I feel like I have to respond and I get a little anxious about it. And so I don't want you to feel like I'm ignoring you. So let's kind of hold back on the text messages, or maybe talk when we're in person, or just get ready for me to respond when I'm at lunch. So things like that. That's how we're going to frame the conversation of feelings when we feel like there needs to be a change. You're not going to say, this needs to change. You need to change. No. That aggressive communication is not welcome in these conversations, especially if the other person that we're coming to is going to come from a place of very defensive behavior. We don't want defensive. Another example of boundaries, maybe in a more intimate or family dynamic, is privacy. I am a very private person. I don't like people coming into my room unannounced. And so I personally use really simple signs on my door that basically just says, hey, I'm working, please knock, or hey, I'm sleeping, please don't come in, or whatever necessary, because when I'm working from a closed door standpoint and I have a lot of people in the house trying to come in and out or wanting to talk to me, they need to understand my boundaries of this is my private time, this is my peaceful time, or I'm working, please don't bother me. Or even now, I'm recording. Imagine if somebody just barged in. Those things need to be addressed in a very non-aggressive way. And so my way of doing it is these little signs that just say, please knock, and things like that, where if you have a certain boundary of your time and how you want to spend it, just sit down with the person and have a conversation. If you ask me to do things with you on Sundays, I'm going to say no, and I don't want to hurt your feelings. It's just how I want to spend my time. So those are healthy boundaries, or an example of a healthy boundary, where I'm going to tell you what I want to do with my time. I'm not pushing you away, but I do have to have you understand that just because it's quote unquote free time doesn't mean I'm available for the things that you want. It's for how I want to spend my time. And welcoming them if they would like to join you. Or if they're not welcome, letting them know, I'll be available in an hour or two, or after 4 p.m., or whatever. You have to set a very clear boundary on whatever it is that you're having an issue opening up. Another thing to always keep in the back of your mind and kind of in your back pocket is underlying mental illness that may not be addressed. And this doesn't necessarily have to be extremes, but it could be something as simple as seasonal depression that we may not be aware of and the other person may not be aware of. And we have to allow for that person to have the floor and let them express whatever the toxicity is coming from. Basically, what's the source of your anger? What's the source of your frustration? I want to know it for myself, and maybe I can help you. And so if somebody's like, I'm really depressed, like I'm really stressed out, I don't know what to do, I am at the end of my rope, I really don't know, I'm lashing out. Those are the moments where you have to be supportive and you have to realize, oh crap, my loved one needs some help. And then maybe contact a professional, maybe a psychologist or even a family counselor, maybe even another person who you think would be a good addition to the conversation, and have some sort of sources for support for that person. Because those moments of extreme vulnerability and extreme stress or weakness or depression, they really do manifest in anger and lashing out, because it builds up. It's a constant little cloud over you that you don't know how to get rid of. And nobody seems to see the little cloud except for you. It's okay. We all have a moment where we have a little cloud. And so if you're the person who is supposed to be supportive now, understand that those lashing out, it's going to be temporary, okay? And we're going to get through these things together. But if it's not coming from a source of overwhelming stress or depression or anything like that, you can sit down and have the conversation with that other individual, or even a counselor if necessary. So that's actually my next recommendation for these toxic relationships, is getting a professional involved. Not always as the first resort, because I recommend trying to have the conversations first. But if you feel like it's just not getting through, and maybe you're not capable of producing the vocabulary to have this conversation without fighting, then get a third person involved. Either somebody who you know is going to be neutral, or an actual professional, because it's better suited for somebody who knows how to navigate that conversation if you don't feel like you can do it with just the two parties involved, or however many parties involved. The next is, don't be afraid to be independent. A lot of these toxic relationships, it makes you feel like you can't do things on your own. It makes you feel like you are not capable of being independent. But I'm going to tell you right now that you absolutely can. With the exception of underage children, I'm going to say that with enough reasoning with yourself that you can do this and you can find the sources necessary to get out, then I promise you, you can. Whether it's a romantic relationship that's gone sour, or a sibling relationship that you maybe need to add a little bit of distance in between you guys, it is possible, and it doesn't necessarily need to be in an aggressive way. You can simply step away a little bit further when the conversations get heated, and literally physically stand further away so that they realize that they're yelling. And then also say, you know, I feel like this conversation is getting a little too heated for me, and I don't think that we can have a constructive conversation in this type of environment. So I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to let you cool off. I'll give you 5 minutes. I'll be back in 30 if you want, whatever. But if we can't have conversations calmly, then I need to walk away. Those are moments where you need to be understanding that you do have that power. You have the power to walk away from the conversations that are not serving you. Now, keep in mind, you have to do it in a very respectful way, because a lot of these, like I've mentioned, toxic behaviors do manifest in anger and aggression. And so you don't want it to flip on you and then you turn your back and something happens to you physically. You do want to do it in a very respectful tone and say, I'll be back. We can talk when we're both not, you know, yelling. And that way we can both feel a little bit better, and maybe we can both be heard, and I can let you talk as well, because I don't even want to talk myself. So it's better if we just give it some time. Then the worst case is obviously when you've tried and you have contacted a professional and you have tried to do the conversations and you have done the distance and you are still not getting through, and you feel like, wow, there's really no solution here. I have to cut ties. Then you have to know that you have to do it from a place of love. You have to do it from a place of self-love, primarily, you have to understand that the decision to cut ties with this toxic person is not because you hate them. It is because you love yourself and you cannot be exposed to these types of behaviors because it's just going to rub off on you and make you more angry. So those things are important to identify, but it's also really important to do the work before just cutting people off. I often recommend a few days of break. I know romantic relationships, people are like, we don't do breaks, and that's fine. Don't break up, but take a few days where you're like, I'm just not going to talk to you today. I need to be mad. I need to be in my feelings, and I need to just breathe. And so you can take a few days, breathe, and really, really think about it. Have I done all the steps necessary? Have we had the conversation? Have I been aggressive? How do I really feel about everything? Am I at the end of my rope? Or do I still have some fight left in me? Do I love this person to make it work? And that's really the root of it. Love. Love for yourself, for the way that you deserve to be treated, and love for the other person because you know what they're capable of at their best. And so you have to be willing to fight for that, but be willing to cut it off when you know that you have done everything you possibly can. A lot of times, people do need that space to realize it on their own because they're not listening to the others that are bringing forth their feelings and their frustrations. And so when you have a person who's kind of locked in that mentality, then you run into the issues of, okay, I'm not going to get through. You're not going to hear me at all. And I need to just walk away for my own sanity. Sometimes it's necessary, but I recommend that be the absolute last resort. So I hope that I have taught you guys enough about toxic behaviors, and I hope that you guys have lots of feedback for me. Please, please, please do not forget to love them through the process, okay? I know it's really easy to get mad and frustrated and point the finger and be like, oh my God, why can't they just do what they're supposed to do? But just love them and you guys will get through it. I promise I've had these conversations a lot and it's almost always for the better, but sometimes you just gotta walk away and love yourself, love them. I love you guys. Have a great Wednesday. I will see you next week. Peace out.